What is good, guys? Nick Scrip on the P2W Fantasy Podcast, heading into week 17, aka the Fantasy Football Championships. Personally, I survived 3 of 5 semis. If you made it to the championship in a paid league, you are likely guaranteed triple your money or close to that. So that's always cool. As always, this podcast is partnered up with the Fantasy Points Media Group, a branch of Fantasy Points, your one-stop shop for everything fantasy football you are looking for when it comes to data, content, rankings, projections, a Discord, etc. I also want to give my guy Step Moody a shout-out, who won a bet that we had. He said Justin Jefferson would finish as the wide receiver one for fantasy. I said Stephon Diggs would. So shout-out to him for making the correct call. He's a great dude, always positive, and we have a good we have good interactions always on Twitter. You can find him at Step_Moody, M-O-O-D-Y. Good guy. Again, me and him, positive interactions. And I want to shout out him for that correct call. The purpose of this show today is to outline the matchups for every game this week and to assist you in making those fantasy football lineup and DFS decisions. Please pay attention through the week for any injury news and other sets of information that pop up, because they will pop up through the week. So week 17, trying to win you guys some shifts. Let's fucking get it.
Fear to give, I feel what I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best on trip, they don't understand. I play to win, yeah, I play to win, I play to win. Yeah, yeah, I play to win, I play to win. Oh, play to win, I play to win. Yeah, yeah, I play to win, I play to win.
All right, so Thursday we have the Cowboys versus the Titans. Tennessee is the third best quarterback matchup, second best wide receiver matchup, and sixth best tight end matchup for fantasy points per game allowed. They're tough around the running back position. Dak Prescott is coming off of 2 top 10 performances for fantasy, with last week finishing as the quarterback 1 overall against a tougher Philly defense. 3 touchdowns apiece the last 2 weeks thrown. He's turned over the ball through the air 3 times, though, as well. Last week, 347 passing yards. Dak has been hot, and his go-to alpha wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, has been solid the last 2 weeks as well, posting back-to-back top 12 fantasy weeks for the wide receiver position. Last week, with Dak being the quarterback 1 for fantasy, CeeDee Lamb was the wide receiver 1 for fantasy, finishing with his second highest fantasy points of the season, 34 points, 10 receptions on 11 targets for 120 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns, back-to-back weeks of 120-plus receiving yards. Michael Gallup is a flex consideration as well, kind of depending on the league. He's coming off of a 13.6 fantasy week, catching 4 of his 7 targets and scoring as well. This is after back-to-back weeks under 7 fantasy points, though, but he did score 18.3 points in week 13. So some risk involved here, especially seeing the catch percentage looking iffy the last couple of weeks. Examples of 4 of 7 targets caught, 2 of 6, 1 of 2, and 4 of 7. Dalton Schultz has had back-to-back weeks, not helping you much in the fantasy world, but week 14, he finished as the tight end 4, week 12, the tight end 1, and week 10, the tight end 3 since his bye, since the bye. He had 16 targets combining weeks 13 and 14, but then just 8 combining the last 2 weeks. So maybe this is an opportunity to get back on track to being a top 4 fantasy tight end. My only asterisk here is if Tennessee's offense can or cannot keep up with Dallas, especially with Malik Willis under center, and the potential that Derrick Henry is either limited or out this week. So Dallas ranks 22, 30th, 30th in fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, running backs, and tight ends. They are actually the 4th best fantasy matchup for wide receivers in points per game allowed. Derrick Henry is always a must start when active. 9 weeks is a top 10 fantasy running back. Have to monitor his status, though, for this one with this hip injury or issue he's having. If he's limited or he's out, it's obviously going to be an impact. Dontrell Hilliard is on the IR, so rookies Sasan Haskins and Julius Chestnut would get bumps, but honestly, I wouldn't trust either in this Dallas Cowboys matchup. In the 3 weeks that Malik Willis, the rookie quarterback, has played the full game, he has thrown 6 completions on 10 attempts for 55 yards, 5 completions on 16 attempts for 80 yards, and then 14 completions on 23 attempts for 99 yards. So I guess he had his best throwing day last week, but it's hard to look at these numbers and trust him or any of his pass catchers, which is unfortunate because if Ryan Tannehill were playing, I feel like we'd be looking at Treylon Burks. We'd think about Chig Okonkwo. But with Malik Willis under center, I'm not looking at any of these guys. So we'll shoot over to Sunday now. Cardinals versus the Falcons. So Atlanta allows the 10th most fantasy points per game to both quarterbacks and wide receivers. Not the friendliest to running backs, but the 4th best fantasy matchup to tight ends. It's hard not to ride the hot hand with James Conner regardless of the matchup. Since his return from injury, across 7 games, he has had 18-plus fantasy points in 5 of them. 4 games finishing the week as a top 5 running back for fantasy. 7 total touchdowns in this specific stretch of games with 3 games straight scoring. He's also had 6, 3, and 7 receptions the last 3 weeks, which bumps his floor. The hope for the pass catchers is that Colt McCoy is back under center and that it's not another McSorley start. Week 10 and 14, Colt McCoy played the full game, which resulted in DeAndre Hopkins scoring 19.8 and 11.9 fantasy points. So at least one good day in that sample size. Hollywood Brown has yet to score 11 fantasy points since his return in week 12. Greg Dortch last week caught 10 of 11 targets after playing, though, under 10% of the snaps the 2 games prior. Arizona is the 8th best fantasy matchup for quarterbacks, 5th for running backs, and best matchup for tight ends in points per game allowed. Not the most friendly to wide receivers. Although it's not friendly for wide receivers, we can at least mention it's nice to see Drake London so heavily involved in this offense, seeing 12, 11, and 9 targets the last 3 weeks. Tyler Allgeier has carried the ball 17 and then 18 times the last 2 weeks, rushing for 139 and 74 rushing yards. He had a touchdown week 15, and then he saw a season high 4 receptions in week 16. So 2 pretty decent signs right there. Feel he is a pretty decent play this week, seeing him trend up in his usage and what he's doing, and plus the matchup on paper. I do believe that Atlanta is emphasizing getting their rookies the work in Desmond Ridder starting, and then both Tyler Allgeier and Drake London seeing some good volume. Next, we have the Dolphins versus the Patriots. The only positional matchup that is a plus versus the Patriots is the tight end position, sitting at 12.4 fantasy points per game allowed. 14th for quarterbacks, 31st for running backs, and 16th for wide receivers in fantasy points per game, looking at what New England gives up. Tua, again, was in concussion protocol. This has happened several times this season, which has drawn debate on if they should shut him down. I think he played this game knowing he wasn't feeling right, and he had a nightmare throwing 3 interceptions. It's Teddy Bridgewater under center this week. In his last game playing a majority of the snaps, he was the quarterback 7 for that week in fantasy against Minnesota. That was week 6. Jaylen Waddle has been a top 10 wide receiver back-to-back weeks, finishing with 114 and 143 receiving yards, as well as a touchdown in both of those games. So he's gotten hot. Tyreek Hill is the wide receiver 2 overall in the year, averaging 21.4 fantasy points per game. 1,632 receiving yards is a career high already for him, and he's averaging 108.8 per game. That's pretty decent. Miami ranks 2nd for quarterbacks, 12th for running backs, 15th for wide receivers, and 3rd for tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. Mac Jones is coming off of a top 12 fantasy week, which marks his 3rd time this season as a QB1 for a week. 2 passing touchdowns and 240 passing yards this past game. Hard to really trust him as a streamer, though, in all honesty, just having questions to his upside. Ramondre Stevenson had a nightmare of a fantasy week last game, scoring 1.3 fantasy points, totaling 33 yards on 91% of the snaps and 15 touches. He should be back in your lineup, so with a bounce back in mind, knowing that he has posted 7 weeks as a top 10 fantasy running back and is number 4 with 62 receptions for the running back position, which has been huge for his PPR value. Kendrick Bourne was a sleeper of mine coming into the season, but has slept most of the season outside of last week where he finally went off. The real focus, though, should just be on Jakobi Meyers, who finished with 20.3 fantasy points last week, his third time scoring over 20 fantasy points this season. He had his third highest receiving total with 83 yards last week and scored his fourth touchdown of this season. Saints versus the Eagles. Philly ranks 15 or worse in fantasy points per game allowed to all positions, with that 15 mark being the running back position. I said prior to week 16 that there were good signs from week 15 for Alvin Kamara, looking at his rushing attempt numbers as well as the yardage. Week 16, he had his highest amount of fantasy points with 19 since week 8. Rushing touchdown and 76 yards along with 34 receiving yards helped. Chris Olave was ruled out of week 16, so you have to check back on his status. I do want to mention, too, on a personal note, Juwan Johnson scored 22.7 fantasy points week 15 on my bench, and then 1.9 fantasy points in a semifinal that I had. So I had a vent there about that. The Saints rank 20th, 19th, 23rd, and 32nd in fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends in that order. Not a huge plus anywhere. Gardner Minshew had a top five fantasy week in week 16, filling in for Jalen Hurts and throwing for 355 yards, passing for two touchdowns, and rushing for one. The last I have seen with Jalen Hurts and his status is that he will, quote-unquote, push to play in week 17. Weeks 1 through 15 prior to missing last week, Hurts was the quarterback one overall for fantasy, averaging 26.76 fantasy points per game. Stud. A.J. Brown is always in your lineup. He's been hot weeks 13 through 16 as the wide receiver two overall during this span, averaging 23.1 fantasy points per game. Three out of four of his last games, he's finished with over 100 receiving yards with a high of 181 receiving yards versus my Chicago Bears. Devonta Smith matched his season high 12 targets last week and has had his season high in fantasy points with Minshew, 31.3 fantasy points. Back-to-back weeks with great receiving yard totals at 126 and 113 receiving yards. Dallas Goedert returned to action last week, and although he caught just three passes, he did finish with 67 receiving yards. Weeks 1 through 10 prior to missing time, he had 6 weeks as a top 10 fantasy tight end. So, this is, you know, an example here. Although you can say the Saints are a tough matchup across the board, we have to note good fantasy assets on the Eagles regardless of the matchup. The Colts versus the Giants. New York ranks 16th to quarterback, 17th to running back, 17th to wide receivers, and 7th to tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. Last week, this offense looked terrible with Nick Foles leading the way. No fantasy option outside of the Colts defense and special team scored 9 fantasy points. Zach Moss has been the lead back, seeing 24 and then 13 touches, playing 67 and then a nice 69% of the snaps the last two games in place of the injured Jonathan Taylor. Michael Pittman saw 7 targets last week from Foles. Jelani Woods finished with 43 receiving yards and saw 5 targets. It's hard to trust anybody, really. I guess you'd give Michael Pittman a shot as a flex play. Indy ranks 15th to quarterbacks, 4th to running backs, 8th to wide receivers, and 20th to tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. Saquon Barkley is having a hell of a bounce back season. Lines up nicely to have his third straight solid week. He had scored 23 and 27.3 fantasy points the last 2 weeks. He is 5 weeks over 20 fantasy points this season. Since the bye across 7 games, he has scored 5 times. What you have to love is the receiving involvement the last 2 weeks, seeing 18 total targets, and due to this combo of work, has finished with over 120 total yards back-to-back weeks for Barkley. Isaiah Hodgins has some flex appeal. He scored 15-ish fantasy points weeks 13 and 14, seeing 6 targets and scoring a touchdown in each of those games. Week 16, he caught 8 of 11 targets for 89 yards and a touchdown, finishing as the wide receiver 7 overall that week with 22.9 fantasy points. Darius Slayton has some flex upside as well, especially in the receiving yard department. 710 receiving yards on the year ranks him 37th for wide receivers, but if we look at specifically weeks 5 through 16, he ranks 17th during the span where he has had 699 of his 710 total receiving yards in those weeks. Panthers versus Buccaneers. Tampa Bay ranks 19th to quarterbacks, 28th to running backs, 13th to wide receivers, and 10th to tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. Carolina has had had both Deonta Foreman with 165 and Chuba Hubbard with 125 rushing yards finishes top three running backs in rushing yards last week in the same week. Wild. Not sure we should be as optimistic, though, in this Tampa Bay matchup. DJ Moore has really caught stride the last 2 weeks with Sam Darnold, 18.3 and 20.1 fantasy points, 73 and 83 receiving yards, a touchdown in both games. Keep in mind last year with Sam Darnold as the primary quarterback, weeks 1 through 9, DJ Moore had 3 weeks over 20 fantasy points, opening up the season with 15.4, 21.9, 20.5, and 31.9 fantasy points with Sam Darnold. Carolina ranks 13th to quarterbacks, 20th to running backs, 5th to wide receivers, and 19th to tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. Although it's not super running back friendly, I think the upside with Leonard Fournette has to be what we saw last week in the receiving department. He caught 9 of 10 targets for 90 yards, second highest individual week receiving total in targets and receptions. Chris Godwin, since the bye, has had 3 of his 5 games at 10-plus targets, 2 of those 5 over 22 fantasy points, 110 and 83 receiving yard days with a touchdown in both weeks 12 and 15. Mike Evans, on the other hand, has had 7 games straight under 14 fantasy points, with 5 of these 7 under 10 fantasy points. The volume isn't terrible either, but the Evans to Brady connection hasn't looked great for a while. He's had games in this stretch catching 2 of 9 targets, 4 of 9 targets, 3 of 8 targets. Not great. Deeper league flex appeal may be Russell Gage, who has seen 12 and 6 targets the last 2 weeks, finishing with 25.9 and 11.5 fantasy points, 3 total touchdowns in his last 3 games played. Broncos versus Chiefs. Kansas City is the 4th best quarterback matchup and 7th best wide receiver matchup in fantasy points per game allowed. They rank 13th to running backs and 15th to tight ends, again in fantasy points per game allowed. Week 14 in Jerry Jeudy's last matchup with Kansas City, he finished with a lot of threes, 33.3 fantasy points, scoring 3 touchdowns. He caught 8 of his 9 targets for 73 yards that day. Week 16, he finished with a season-high 117 receiving yards. In his last 5 games, seeing 74% of the snaps plus, he has finished with 16.6, 18.3, 33.3, 14.6, and 17.7 fantasy points. Useful flex weeks out of Jeudy. For all the shit some people talked about him prior to the season, mostly due to injury over his actual skill, he is showing us he can ball. Cortland Sutton saw 7 targets last week after missing 2 full games. He's had a good chunk of double-digit scoring weeks this season, but only 3 games over 15 fantasy points. Hard to trust Russell Wilson for fantasy. Denver is the worst fantasy matchup for quarterbacks and tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. They rank 14th to running backs and 8th to tight ends, again, fantasy points per game allowed. Again, if we look back to week 14 and the last time these two teams faced off, Jerick McKinnon finished as the running back 1 that week, scoring 32.4 fantasy points. He caught 7 of 9 targets for 112 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. Isaiah Pacheco in the same game scored 12.3 fantasy points, rushing for 70 yards and also catching 3 passes. Travis Kelce had a down week at 11.1 fantasy points versus Denver last time, but is coming off of games scoring 20.5 and 17.3 the last 2 weeks. Juju Smith-Schuster had a big game last time against Denver in this matchup, catching 9 of 11 targets for 74 receiving yards and a touchdown, 22.4 fantasy points. We have the Bears versus the Lions. Detroit is the best quarterback matchup, 3rd best to wide receivers, and 5th best to tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. They are tougher to the running back position. In this last matchup, week 10, Bears versus Lions, Justin Fields finished as the quarterback 1 overall, throwing 2 touchdowns, rushing for 147 yards, and rushing for 2 touchdowns. Down week for him in a tougher Buffalo matchup, week 16, but Fields has had 8 weeks finishing as a top 10 quarterback for fantasy, with 5 of those 8 weeks finishing as a top 5 quarterback. The rushing upside is as elite as it can get. Huge Detroit game for Cole Kmet as well last time around, finishing as the tight end one that specific week, scoring 23.4 fantasy points. He caught four of his seven targets for 74 yards and two touchdowns that week. The matchup is there again for him to have a good day. Khalil Herbert came back last week and played 41% of the snaps, seeing eight touches. Monty, David Montgomery, played 67% of the snaps and saw 20 touches. Chicago ranks ninth for quarterbacks, seventh for running backs, 22nd for wide receivers, and 31st for tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. Sad matchup news for those of you who played tight end Shane Zylstra in 32-team leagues last week when he scored those three touchdowns, but not a great matchup this week. Jared Goff didn't have a good game against Chicago last time, but he has scored 21-plus fantasy points in three out of four of his last games. Weeks 13 through 16, he has finished as the quarterback four, quarterback 17, and quarterback two, three passing touchdown days in two out of three of his last games. Signs point to him being a streamer this week. Jamal Williams is currently questionable. If he is out, this may be a more optimistic boost for DeAndre Swift, who scored 3.5 fantasy points last week. The one other positive to Swift is the hope of continued passing involvement. He has seen 8, 6, 4, 9, and 5 targets the last five games. 22.1 fantasy points last time for against Chicago for Amon-Ra St. Brown. He always has that extra motivation playing his brother in this matchup. That game for Chicago in week 10, he caught 10 of 11 targets for 119 receiving yards. DJ Chark, although it's not a great wide receiver matchup for fantasy, should be on your radar after posting his third 14-plus fantasy point week across his last four games. He has finished with 98, 94, 18, and 108 receiving yards the last 4 weeks played. So the upside in the receiving yard department is there. It's clear. And Jameson Williams isn't really playing a huge role yet this season, and he may not. Browns versus the Commanders. Washington ranks 17th to quarterbacks, 29th to running backs, 19th to wide receivers, and 28th to tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. It's a tougher matchup. Amari Cooper and Deshaun Watson's first 3 weeks scored under 10 fantasy points in all of them. Last week, he had his best day scoring 13.2 fantasy points, catching 6 of 10 targets for 72 receiving yards. Deshaun Watson has yet to post a QB1 week, finishing as the quarterback 30, quarterback 14, quarterback 21, and quarterback 20 in his first four games. Hoping and praying for a good Nick Chubb day, even in a tougher matchup, four straight weeks under 12 fantasy points. He has rushed for 99 and 92 yards the last 2 weeks, though. So if he can have another decent rushing day, he needs a score for a decent actual fantasy week. 21 and 25 touches the last two games. Good sign there, but I feel like he's got to find the end zone. David Njoku has been down the last two games to under 6 fantasy points, but he did score 18.7 week 14, catching 7 of 9 targets that week with a touchdown. Not a ton of positive things in all honesty to say right now about Cleveland in this matchup. Cleveland ranks 28th to quarterbacks, 28th to quarterbacks, 3rd to running backs, 26th to wide receivers, and 6th to tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. Last week, the highest scoring Washington running back for fantasy was Jonathan Williams on just 27% of the snaps. Antonio Gibson isn't practicing Wednesday. Brian Robinson lines up for a nice matchup here. Super inefficient last week, posting a 22 attempt for 58 rushing yard line, and that's coming after a game that he was super efficient, going 89 yards on the ground on just 12 rushing attempts, week 15. Across his last six games played, he has had 20-plus touches in four of them. Carson Wentz will start this week for the first time since week 6. Through Wentz's six games, Terry McLaurin scored just one game over 15 fantasy points. Curtis Samuel, on the other hand, was over that mark twice. Both have had good days, though, the last 3 weeks in at least two of their games. Jahan Dotson played in just four of those games with Carson Wentz to open up the season, posting 17.9 and 13.3 fantasy point weeks, for example. Coming off of a 9-target week, which is his second time in his last 3 weeks seeing 9 targets, I think Jahan Dotson is a big part of this playbook right now, and it's important for Washington to develop their first-round investment. 16.5 20.5 and 19.6 fantasy points the last 3 weeks played for Jahan Dotson, the rookie, my guy. Jaguars versus the Texans. Houston ranks 31st for quarterbacks, 30th to wide receivers in fantasy points per game allowed. So really rough there. 14th best matchup, though, for tight ends and the best fantasy matchup for running backs in points per game allowed. Travis Etienne had his best fantasy week since week 9, scoring 14.2 in week 16. Back-to-back games with decent rushing totals of 103 and 83 yards. 6 catches across the last 2 games. Last time around, he finished with 14.4 fantasy points against Houston in week 5, but he played just 53% of the snaps, which he consistently plays at a higher rate now. Weeks 13 through 16, Evan Ingram has been one of the hottest fantasy pieces to have in lineups. For tight ends, he ranks first for targets, receptions, receiving yards, and fantasy points during this span. So again, weeks 13 through 16, Ingram ranks first for targets, receptions, receiving yards, and fantasy points for the tight end position. He's totaled 85.7 fantasy points during this time, with the second most tight end fantasy points during this span being 66.3. Just to paint the picture for how great he has been for the tight end position, you roll with the hot hand. 14, 39.2, 14.2, and 18.3 fantasy points the last 4 games. Jacksonville ranks 6th to quarterbacks, 9th to running backs, 14th to wide receivers, and 11th to tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. Brandon Cooks returned last week and scored 13.4 fantasy points, catching 4 of 9 targets, with one of them being a touchdown. I'm pretty sure he had another touchdown that got called back as well. He has some flex appeal heading into this week. Jordan Akins has some deep league flex appeal, or a stream appeal, for the tight end position. 3 weeks this year as a top 10 tight end. Since week 10, he has scored double-digit fantasy points in 3 out of 7 games. 2 out of 4 of his last games played with 6 targets. So, again, risky and probably deeper, but take a look in your deep leagues at Jordan Akins for a tight end stream. 49ers versus the Raiders. Las Vegas ranks 7th to quarterbacks in fantasy points per game allowed, 6th to running backs, 18th to wide receivers, and 9th to tight ends. Brock Purdy across weeks 13 through 16 has been the quarterback 10 overall, averaging 17.61 fantasy points per game. 2 passing touchdowns in every game played. He's also added 1 on the ground. He did have 1 quarterback 8 performance in there. It may not win you your week, but he brings stability and has a great matchup this week against Vegas. Back-to-back massive George Kittle weeks, 25.3 and 30 fantasy point scores. 93 and 120 receiving yards, both weeks with 2 receiving touchdowns in each of those games. The connection has been established between Purdy and Kittle. Little bit of a letdown for Christian McCaffrey last week, scoring 13.8. It didn't kill you or anything like that, but he has had 3 straight weeks with a rushing touchdown. Before last week, he went 3 straight weeks scoring 28.6. 29.3 and 25.8 fantasy points with 2 games over 100 rushing yards and 2 games seeing 10 and 8 targets. San Francisco ranks outside the top 25 for fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks, running backs, and tight ends. They are, however, the 6th best fantasy matchup for wide receivers. 3 straight weeks under 11 fantasy points for Davante Adams and under 10 targets. This season, he has had 4 weeks over 30 fantasy points, 2 weeks of 17 targets, and 4 weeks over 140 receiving yards, just to remind you of the upside he brings. Fantasy managers are desperate for a bounce back in the fantasy championship from Davante Adams. I do want to mention Hunter Renfrow as well, who has had a down and injured year, but last week caught 4 of 7 targets for 42 receiving yards and a touchdown, 14.2 fantasy points. Last year, this guy was a top 12 fantasy wide receiver who finished with over 1,000 receiving yards and 128 targets. Could be effective as an option from the slot. Maybe a bit deeper, maybe a desperation flex play, but could be useful this week. Jets versus Seahawks. New York ranks 23rd to quarterbacks and running backs, 31st to wide receivers, and 13th to tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. DK Metcalf, since the bye, weeks 12 through 16, ranks 6th in targets, 5th in receptions, 8th in receiving yards, and 8th in total fantasy points. No Tyler Lockett for this week. A lot of people will sneak on or will speak on this being a tough secondary and Metcalf seeing plenty of Sauce Gardner, which could be accurate there. But I feel like with those numbers I just mentioned since the bye and not having Tyler Lockett, I feel like you just have to roll him out there. His role is going to be extremely important in this matchup. I think Noah Fant is a bit interesting here as well. 14.2, he had a goose egg, and then 14.2 and 9.2 fantasy points the last couple of games. In those four games, he has had three receiving touchdowns. The Jets are the most fantasy-friendly to tight ends over other positions, so maybe he's a decent stream there. Seattle ranks 11th to quarterbacks, 2nd to running backs, 29th to wide receivers, and 2nd to tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. Mike White, in his two full games, he finished as the quarterback 6 and quarterback 7 this season, throwing for 315 and 369 yards in those games, and he is set to return versus Seattle in a plus matchup. Michael Carter has had games of 6 and 5 targets across his last 3 weeks. Zonovan Knight has had back-to-back dud weeks after scoring 12.3, 16.8, 15.7 fantasy points, weeks 12 through 14. It's a good matchup on paper for the running backs. It's also a good matchup for Tyler Conklin. His role just like fluctuates up and down so much, it's hard to really understand what sort of targets he's going to see on a given week. Vikings versus Packers. Minnesota ranks 5th for quarterbacks, 10th to running backs, 1st to wide receivers, and 17th to tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. Aaron Rodgers is appealing due to this matchup. He has a pretty high projection for the week for fantasy, but he's not been a quarterback one since week 10, which is the only week he has finished as a top 12 quarterback. Aaron Jones versus Minnesota in week 1 scored just 10.6 fantasy points. We've seen some boom or bust weeks through the year for him. A.J. Dillon has not had a great year in general. He scored under 10 fantasy points in all of weeks 2 through 11. The last 4 weeks, though, he's picked it up. 17.8, 20.9, 22.1, and 12.8 fantasy points with a touchdown in all 4 of those games, 5 total during the span. Should Aaron Jones be limited or out, A.J. Dillon is a decent play. Should both of these running backs play, I think the matchup is one you might get away with trying to plug either or in, depending on who you have. After seeing just 2 targets week 15 after the bye, Alan Lazard saw 11 last week. He made some bigger plays and finished with 61 receiving yards. Christian Watson is considered day-to-day with the hip injury. We know of his major streak. The major streak he had prior to the bye for the fantasy world, scoring what felt like, 50 touchdowns in 4 games. Last week, he saw 8 targets, but just 38% of the snaps because he got banged up. He caught 6 passes in the first half before not returning. So, healthy, it's a great matchup. It's one you'd smash. He has major touchdown upside, but it's not looking great for his status right now, which would give Alan Lazard a bump, but also Romeo Dubs, who I want to mention. Should Christian Watson be out, I think Dubs would have some flex appeal, seeing 11 targets the last 2 games. And this, again, is a great matchup. Green Bay ranks 25th to quarterbacks, 11th to running backs, 27th to wide receivers, and 24th to tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. Dalvin Cook had a monster 26 fantasy point week in week 15, finishing as the running back 2 overall that week. This was pushed by a major receiving play that had him finish with 4 receptions for 95 receiving yards and a touchdown. Week 1 against Green Bay, he finished with 90 rushing yards. Justin Jefferson is on a monster tear right now, scoring over 30 fantasy points in 3 straight weeks with 223, 123, and 133 receiving yards in these last 3 games. It's scary times facing Justin Jefferson in the fantasy playoffs here. Monster TJ Hockenson game last week, seeing a career high 16 targets, catching 13 of them for 109 yards and scoring 2 touchdowns, 35.9 fantasy points. Rams versus Chargers. LA ranks 21st to quarterbacks, 8th to running backs, 28th to wide receivers, and 18th to tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. Maybe not the best tight end matchup, but we have to mention Tyler Higbee, who caught 9 of 11 targets in week 16 for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns. If you played him, his 30.4 fantasy points may have pushed you to the championship. He has trended up for fantasy the last 2 weeks. Cam Akers has finished with some good fantasy weeks the last 4 games played. 19, 8.3, 13, and 34.7 fantasy points the last 4 games. He had his one of his highest rushing totals in his career with 118. In week 16, he found the end zone 3 times and had 25 touches. 34.7 fantasy points, not 300. 34.7 fantasy points for Cam Akers last week. The momentum you like to see heading into a plus fantasy running back matchup in the fantasy football championships. LA ranks 26th to quarterbacks, 15th to running backs, 11th to wide receivers, and 22nd to tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. Keenan Allen, since his return in week 11 through week 16, has ranked 6th for total fantasy points, 2nd in targets, tied for 2nd in receptions, and he's had the 5th most receiving yards during the span. 3 of these 6 games, he has finished with over 20 fantasy points. Double-digit fantasy points for Mike Williams the last 3 games. Top 5 fantasy finish week 14 with 23.6, but under 12 fantasy points the last 2 weeks. Austin Eckler has finished as a top 5 fantasy running back in 2 out of 3 of his last games played, with those 2 games going for over 23 fantasy points. Second highest rushing attempts total in week 16 with 18. He has rushed for 4 touchdowns across his last 3 games played. Steelers versus the Ravens. Baltimore ranks 18th to quarterbacks, 25th to running backs, 9th to wide receivers, and I got the number all mixed up for tight ends and points per game allowed. Let me look that up really quick, and I probably can't. We'll talk about it, though. Week 14 versus Baltimore, Deontay Johnson finished with 14.2 fantasy points. Solid day for him in week 15, scoring a season-high 20 fantasy points, catching all 10 targets for 98 yards. It's still wild to see that he has yet to score a touchdown this season. George Pickens scored 10.8 fantasy points in week 14 versus Baltimore last time. Week 16, he scored 16.7 fantasy points, catching all 5 targets for 57 receiving yards and a touchdown. 4 times this season, he has finished with over 16 fantasy points. Pittsburgh ranks 12th to quarterbacks, 24th to running backs, 8th to wide receivers, 23rd to tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. There's a chance Lamar Jackson is back this week. I just saw on Sleeper, like in the middle of this stream, that he was not spotted today, Wednesday at practice. But if he does play, this would directly give Mark Andrews a major boost, who had 4 weeks over 22 fantasy points with Jackson before the bye, but has had 4 weeks straight under 10 fantasy points and 8 straight under 13 fantasy points as of recent. Lamar Jackson likely would be back in lineups if he does play. J.K. Dobbins rushed for 120 and 125 yards on the ground weeks 14 and 15, but came down to life last week to earth versus Atlanta. DeMarcus Robinson saw just 1 target last week, but at least 6 targets the 3 weeks prior. Then on Monday, which I won't get into because I typically do something separate, we have the Bills versus the Bengals. And if you were to pick a game that everybody is going to be tuned in to see, this is one that's going to be very, very fun to watch, just because a lot of people have a lot of fantasy players within this matchup. And with it being the last game of the fantasy championship, all eyes are going to, you know, be tuned in on this specific matchup. But if you made it this far, power to you. Shout out to you, because that was a long time just me rambling and talking. Nearly 40 minutes of just Nick spitting shit out. But hopefully something from this helped you with your lineup decisions when looking at some positive matchup data for this slate of games. Hopefully this season, if you have been listening all year, I've helped you in some sort of way to be successful. At the end of the day, you drafted your team and you make your decisions. But if I can assist you in playing to win, that's what I'm here for, and that's why this podcast exists. So good luck in week 17, aka again the fantasy football championships. Hope you guys take home that dub, the bragging rights, and some good cash. But let's get it this week and win those ships.